Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lenten theme for this year is Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In Gethsemane, Jesus says, You will all be offended because of me this night. Offended by the Jesus to whom John the Baptist points. Offended by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And these words of Jesus were not only true for the disciples who were there with him in the garden, but they're true for the disciples today. After all, the disciples who followed Jesus for three whole years still were offended by him and literally deserted him in his last hour. Then how can we assume that we would be any better? And so Jesus' truth remains. You will all be offended because of me this night. But it's necessary. It's the way it has to be. Why? Because the prophecy of Zechariah 13 needs to be fulfilled. I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. You know, during the last week of Jesus' life, especially, you know, the last even few hours of Jesus' life, he fulfills all of these different Old Testament prophecies. He teaches that this was God's plan from the very beginning. You know, even we see this one from Zechariah 13, which was written way before Jesus was born. God knew what the plan was from the very onset. Jesus, he must be beaten. He must be bloody. He must be crucified. And God must do it all to him. And the truth is that he has to do it alone. His disciples need to be offended by this. Because God alone needs to be responsible. God says, I will strike the shepherd. Would God really lash out at his only begotten son? Yes. This is what must be done to take away the sin of the world, to take away your sin and my sin. To save you from hell's damnation, God declares, I will strike Jesus. And so the Lamb of God is led like a lamb to the slaughter, so that the blood of this sacrificial Lamb of God could drain from his body, pouring out all over the cross, pouring out onto the ground over which he is suspended, and pouring out onto you to cleanse you from all of your sin, both the sin that you have committed against other people, but also to cleanse you from the sin that others have committed against you. Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin. And he is struck dead by God. Jesus is damned by God. The Father kills his Son. But as we think about Jesus' time in Gethsemane, we really ought not to be surprised. Jesus goes and he begins to be full of sorrow and turmoil. It's no wonder he falls on his face and prays three times. His prayers are so intense, too, so fervent that it says his sweat falls to the ground like great drops of blood. The Lamb of God has been given an impossible task. Taking all of the wrath of God for every sin that has ever been committed in the past and every sin that ever will be committed in the future. Not just for one person or two people or for those living in Israel, but for the entirety of the whole world. By all human understanding, this can't be done. There's too much wrath for one man to take on. There's too much to endure. As God strikes the shepherd, there are too many blows from the Father toward his Son. This is why Jesus goes to the garden. He goes to prepare. The shepherd, the Lamb of God, ready to be slaughtered. So Jesus prays. Because that's how he prepares for what he must do. He prays. He even trusts the one who's going to do the deed. Father, I beg you, take this cup away from me. If you have a plan B, let's go with that one instead. Because I really don't like this whole plan A thing where I have to take all of your wrath against every sinner and all sin as I suffer and die on a cross. That doesn't sound like fun. Jesus says he doesn't want to become sin and get damned with it. It's overwhelming. It's an overwhelming thought for him to even fathom. But at the end of his prayer, he always says the same thing. God, it's not about me. It's not about my will. It's not about the wrath that I want to escape. It's all about you. Your will be done. That will that you revealed in the prophets long ago, make that will done to me. Grace isn't cheap. The truth is, it costs us nothing, but it costs Jesus everything. To win your salvation, to take away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God must give his life as a ransom. And to be honest, it is offensive. It scandalizes us. It's unfair, isn't it? I mean, Jesus, he's the only one who has been holy and perfect and never did one thing wrong for his entire life. And then for him to go to the garden and say, well, I guess I'm just going to take whatever abuse I need to take. We don't like it. In fact, you know what it is? God's action of striking the shepherd. It's divine child abuse. If you really think about it, the Father is striking his Son. Which of us gathered here isn't offended by child abuse? It's scandalous. We're offended by what God would do to his Son. And so in response, as you know, we continue through this reading, we actually act just like Peter. Peter is constantly waffling between faithfulness and being offended. First, Jesus, you are the Christ. And then Jesus explains what this means, right? I have to go to the cross and die. And Peter says, far be that from you, Lord. I'm offended by the fact that you would go to the cross. No, I'm going to prevent you from that. Next, he says, well, I'll never deny you, even if I have to die. And yet then what does he do? But you know, just a few hours later, he's asleep in the garden. He can't even stay awake with Jesus, let alone stand next to him as he dies. And then finally, you know, he circles back again. He goes, all right, Jesus, you know, these people, they're coming to get you, and so I'm going to take out my sword and I'm going to defend you. Again, preventing Jesus from going to the cross. You see, just like Peter, we're filled with the same sort of self-confidence. We waffle back and forth. We confess, we're always going to be faithful to you, Jesus. Yet at times our faith still sleeps when we live our lives for mere enjoyment and pleasure and self-indulgence. In one sentence, we confess Jesus as the Christ, and yet we still try to prevent him from going to the cross because we recognize how truly unfair it is. We know how wrong it is for Jesus to take our place, and we wish that things were different. And this is why Jesus is unlike us. Jesus spends his time in prayer. Thy will be done. And so while we're busy getting offended, while we're busy waffling back and forth between faithfulness and sin, Jesus simply reads the scriptures. I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Thy will be done. This is the day of the Lord when God punishes Jesus for the sins of the world. And it looks horrible, offensive. And yet, we must accept it. Because the alternative is for us to receive God's wrath on our own. Without Jesus dying on the cross, there is no Lamb of God. And there is no love of God. He is the shepherd whom God strikes, and he willingly does it because that is the Father's will. And so he goes and he bleeds and he dies for you. Not because you deserve his blessing, but because you don't. In Gethsemane, the disciples abandoned the Christ, for the prophecy must be fulfilled. Yet in the resurrection, he tells them where he might be found. In Galilee, he promises where he's going to meet them, and he promises where he's going to meet you. Because while we recognize how unfair it is for Jesus to die for us, we also run to him in his victory. As he gives us the words of forgiveness, life, and salvation, as he declares that just as much as I have died for you, I have risen for you. I have been victorious for you. When you join in confessing him this way, my Lord and my God. And we can say that another way too. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.